Good morning. It's a scary world in which we live. Approximately 20 years ago, a father waved goodbye to his 11-year-old daughter, J.C. Dugard, as she walked to the school bus stop. He stood in the driveway and watched her to make sure that she was safely able to cross the street at the intersection a few houses down from theirs. And as J.C. was crossing that intersection, a car pulled up next to her. And a man said something to J.C. And J.C.'s father saw this taking place, and he knew right away that there was something wrong with what was happening. But it all went down so fast, he couldn't get to her in time. The man zapped J.C. with a stun gun. She fell to the ground. He picked her up, threw her in the car, and drove off. Her father was chasing that car down the street, but he couldn't catch up to the car. The car disappeared, and J.C. was gone. And I can't imagine anything more terrifying as a parent than to lose your child to a predator like this. You can abuse me all you want. You can insult me all you want. You can hurt me. You can attack me. And I'll probably tolerate it. But there's one thing I will not tolerate, and that is someone abusing my children. If someone is abusing my children, I am going to put a stop to it. I am not going to stand by and allow my children to be abused. As parents, we want our children to be safe. And we will do anything to protect our children from a predator. Now, JC is a survivor. This madman who zapped her with a stun gun held her prisoner for 18 years. She spent 18 years being abused by this man. But she's a survivor. She was rescued. She was reunited with her family. JC survived this ordeal. Now, please, I'm not making light of the fact that she was tormented for 18 years. But at least it was only 18 years. The point I want to make this morning is this. There is a predator who has plans for our children. His tactics may be more subtle than to use a stun gun on our children. But his intentions are far more devastating. Because he not only wants our children for 18 years, but he wants our children for an eternity. He wants our children to be separated from God and spend an eternity in hell, in torment and suffering. And if we as parents would be committed to sacrifice everything that we have and devote the totality of our lives to rescue our children from a predator, then why wouldn't we be even more committed and more dedicated to doing whatever is necessary to rescue our children from Satan? We must be proactive as parents if we are going to save our children's souls. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 46 and 47. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 46 and 47. Deuteronomy 32, 46 says this. He said to them, "Take to your heart all the words with which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law. For it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. And by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess." Here we see in verse 46 that God is teaching us that his word must be in our hearts. Take to your heart the things I am speaking to you today. The word of God must dwell in our hearts, because we will never be molded and shaped by the word of God into the kind of people that God wants us to be if the word of God is not in our hearts. He also says in verse 46, be careful to observe these words. In other words, we must be a people who put into practice the things we read in the Word of God. We must be convicted by the Word of God. We must allow the Word of God to mold us and shape us into the kind of people God wants us to be. And we must live our lives according to the Word of God, carefully observing the commandments of the Lord on a daily basis. Why is it so important that we do this? Verse 47 says this, "For it is not an idle word." Too many people in this world believe that the Bible is an idle word. There are people in this world who believe that the Bible is a lie. There are people in this world who believe that the Bible is a collection of fairy tales. There are people in this world who believe that the Bible is nothing more than a history book. Some people maybe are even proud of themselves because in their minds they've elevated the status of the Bible. They believe that the Bible is good advice. And if you choose to live your life according to the principles of the Bible, you will probably be better off for it. Good for you. But the Bible is not an idle word. The Bible is not a lie. The Bible is not a collection of fairy tales. The Bible is not a history book. The Bible is not good advice that you can choose to take or leave. But the Bible is your life. Verse 47, look at what it says. This is not an idle word, but this is your life. We cannot survive separated from the Word of God. Try living without oxygen. You can't do it. Because oxygen is your life. And in the same way, the Word of God is our life. We cannot survive if we separate ourselves from the Word of God. This is not an overstatement of the case. But this is the reality that most people never come to understand. That your success or your failure is dependent upon your response to the Word of God. Your interaction with the Word of God. Your salvation or your condemnation is dependent upon your response to the Word of God. Now notice what verse 46 says. Verse 46 says this, "Take to your heart all the words with which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe." As parents, it is our responsibility to teach the Word of God to our children. The question is, who is teaching your children? 30 minutes a week on Sunday morning in Bible class is not enough to counteract the evil influences that Satan is throwing at our children every day. Our children are being influenced minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, nonstop. Satan is bombarding them with images of sinfulness and wickedness and trying to cause doubt in their minds so that they will abandon their faith in God and ultimately wind up spending an eternity separated from God in hell. Who is teaching your children? Our children are being influenced by secular teachers in public schools who have a humanistic agenda. Our children are being influenced by their friends who have no moral compass whatsoever. Our children are being influenced by the books that they read, the magazines that they read, the movies that they watch, the television shows that they watch, and not even the Disney Channel is trustworthy anymore. And as our children are being constantly bombarded with messages of sinfulness and evil and wickedness and anti-God themes, how are we going to counteract the sin-saturated stun gun of secular society that Satan is using to deceive our children? As parents, it is our responsibility to teach the Word of God to our children in the home. It's not the church's responsibility to teach the Word of God to our children. Now, the church can help. The church should be helping parents accomplish this task. But we need to understand that as parents, it is our responsibility to teach the Word of God to our children in the home. Because if the Word of God is not being taught to our children in the home, then it's not being taught at all. They're not going to learn about God. They're not going to learn about the Bible in school or by watching TV or by listening to music or by getting on the internet if parents are not proactive to teach their kids the Word of God in the house. Then they're not getting it at all. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 say this: Only give heed to yourself, and keep your souls diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Let them hear my words, so they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. As parents, we must be telling our kids what great things the Lord has done. We must teach our kids that God is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the great creator. And that all life is dependent upon him. And that all life derives from him, as he is the eternal being by nature. They're not going to get that message in school. As parents, we must teach our kids about the wrath of God and the mercy of God demonstrated during the days of Noah. We must be telling our kids about how God delivered his people from the hands of the Egyptians. We must tell our children about how God delivered Daniel from the lion's den. They need to know what great things God has done in this world. But our children must also hear what great things God is doing today in our lives. We must tell our children when we sit down at the dinner table and we have this meal that God is the great provider and this meal is a gift from God. Notice how God is blessing us. We must remind our children about how God is answering our prayers on behalf of those who are sick, on behalf of those who are injured. We must remind our children that during times in our lives when we're broke and we have no money at all, and we don't even know how we're going to pay our bills, and then something unexpected happens. The car breaks down, and it's going to cost $500 to fix the car, and I don't have $500 to pay my bills, much less fix the car. What are we going to do? And then all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, unexpectedly, the money is provided. We must notice and remind our children, now point out to our children that God is providing for our needs. God is taking care of us. God is a great God. We must be telling our children what great things the Lord is doing in our lives today. But I want you to notice the words that are written in bold letter here. It says, make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Let them hear my words, so they may learn to fear me. This is the key. Let them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me. There is a relationship between hearing the word of God and fearing the Lord. Children who grow up in a home where the Bible is neglected, where the Bible is not used at all, will never grow up to fear the Lord. They will not grow up to be faithful to God, because how can you fear the Lord apart from the word of God? God himself says, let them hear my words so they may learn to fear me. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as parents, if we are going to rescue our children from the hands of Satan, a predator who wants them to be tormented for eternity in hell, then we must give them a lifeline. The word of God is their lifeline. It is your life. It's a matter of salvation or condemnation. It is your life. And if our children are not hearing the word of God, how can we expect them to grow up and fear the Lord? Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll read verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess, so that you and your sons and your grandsons might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged." Again, we see in this verse that there is a relationship between hearing the word of God and fearing the Lord. If we want our children to fear the Lord, if we want our children to be faithful to God, then we must be constantly teaching them the word of God as parents. Now, Paul describes the world of his day in Romans chapter 3. And unfortunately, that description is an apt description of the world of our day today. But in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 12, Paul says this: "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one." Why is society so morally bankrupt? How is it that a man could use a stun gun on an 11-year-old girl and keep her as his prisoner for 18 years? Paul answers that question in Romans chapter 3, verse 18. He says, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." There is no fear of God before their eyes because they are not living a life saturated with the Word of God. When we separate ourselves from the Word of God, we have no fear of the Lord. There is a relationship between hearing the Word of God and fearing the Lord. And when we separate ourselves from the Word of God, we will not fear the Lord. A society that is raised apart from the Bible, a society that is raised from apart from the Word of God, will be morally bankrupt. We shouldn't be surprised when the crime rate goes up. We shouldn't be surprised when we see violence and sin and wickedness and evil and people hurting other people and taking advantage of other people in our culture and society, when we as a society have rejected the Word of God. It is not appropriate for the Bible to be used in government proceedings. It is not appropriate for the Bible to be used in our public schools. There was a time when the Bible was taught in our schools. In fact, the Bible was the main textbook of students in our public schools at one point in time. But now, we have come so far in the opposite direction. We cannot tolerate the Bible in a public school because of the psychological damage that the Word of God might do to our children. As a culture, we have rejected the Word of God. We have neglected the Word of God. We've cast it aside. And why would we be surprised that this nation is full of people who do not fear the Lord? Notice Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. "O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey." If we hear the Lord and if we hear the Word of God and put the Word of God into practice in our lives, then we will be blessed. Don't you want to be blessed? Don't you want your children to be blessed? Then we must be a people who are students of the Word of God. Notice what Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9 say. Verse 6, "And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." In other words, we must live a life saturated in the Word of God. Teach the Word of God to your children. When? All the time. Where? Everywhere. It should be a lifestyle saturated with the Word of God. You wouldn't survive in an environment that was oxygen-free. You wouldn't go scuba diving without an oxygen tank, because you can't survive in that environment. And we cannot survive in an environment apart from the Word of God. It is your life. It is not an idle word, but it is your very life. My cousin is a preacher, and he was out studying the Bible with people every night of the week at the expense of his family. He had neglected his family. And he had a 5-year-old daughter. And one night as he was leaving to go study the Bible with someone, his daughter asked him, "Why are you leaving again?" And he said, "Because I'm studying the Bible with so-and-so." She said, "Why do you need to study the Bible with that person?" He said, "Because he needs to know about Jesus so that his sins might be forgiven, so that his soul might be saved." And then his daughter asked him, "Then why don't we ever study the Bible here at our house?" And that question hit him like a ton of bricks. Because here he was, going out every night, saving lost souls, sharing the Word of God with all these people at the expense of his own family. He had not been studying the Bible with his own children. And when he told me that story, his daughter's question hit me like a ton of bricks as well. Because I was doing the same thing. There was a time in my life where I was out 28 nights out of the month. I may have been home 2 nights a month. But I was out so much because I had Bible studies with people. Some of these people were even strangers. A woman would say, "Hey, I have a friend who would like to study the Bible. Can you study the Bible?" I would say, "Absolutely, I'm going." And I'm studying the Bible with people who to me are even strangers. They desperately need the Word of God because it is your life. And I'm studying the Bible with them, but I'm gone 28 nights out of the month. And I realized that I am failing my family, that I am failing to be the spiritual leader of my home, that my children need me, that my wife and my children must be the first priority in my ministry. What good will it do me if I'm able to convert and save the souls of strangers and acquaintances, and yet I lose the souls of my own children because of my own negligence? And I was convicted of those sins, and I realized I need to make some changes in my life. So I decided I am going to be home at bedtime. I'm not going to be out at bedtime. If I have a Bible study in the evening, it's going to be early enough that I can be home at bedtime. And I tuck my daughters in bed at night, and we say a prayer together, and we go over memory verses together. The first memory verse that Kinsey ever learned was Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's probably not a message she's going to learn at school. But I chose memory verses that would exalt God and teach her our dependence upon Him. Kinsey knows Psalm 23:1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." It's amazing how smart a 3-year-old is. Our children will never be better equipped to memorize Scripture than they are during the ages of 3 to 10 years old. They're like sponges. They absorb it. It comes so easy to them. It will never be this easy again to teach the Word of God to our children. We need to take advantage of this window of opportunity that God has given us as parents. Kinsey is now choosing her own memory verses. Several months ago, I preached a sermon on Moses bringing water forth from the rock, and how that rock is actually a type of Jesus, who is the source of living water. And on the way home in the car, Kinsey says to me, "Dad, you know that verse about Jesus being living water? We should memorize that verse." And so we did. I was reading about one of the restoration preachers in the restoration movement. His family had a tradition that when they sat down for dinner at night, they would not eat until they had first feasted on the Word of God. And as a family sitting around the dinner table, they would read from the Bible and they would talk about what they had read. And they would not eat until they had first feasted on the Word of God. And I thought, that is a tradition that I need to start in my own home. So I did that. We sat down at the table. Carrie was unprepared for this. She's bringing the food. We're ready to eat. Girls are cranky and crying. Nope, we're not eating tonight. Tonight we're reading the Bible. And we read from the Psalms. And I chose short Psalms, but Psalms that would glorify God and teach us about our dependence upon God. And then we would say a prayer. Then we would eat. And as we were eating, we would discuss the Psalm that had been read. That was a great tradition. It didn't last in my house. It died off. I kept it going for a few months, but then life happened. We were busy. We were eating in the car, driving fast food. Things like that came up, and it fizzled out. But it was a good idea, and it's probably something I need to go back and redo in my home. I realize that if I'm going to study the Bible with someone, I must make an appointment to meet with them. You know how we are. We talk to people. Hey, we ought to get together sometime. Yeah, that'd be great. You should bring your wife. Come on over. We'll have a good time. Yeah, it never happens. It never happens unless you actually make an appointment for it to happen. Hey, I'm going to meet with you on Tuesday at 11 o'clock at Yolanda's Tacos. And it's not until you actually make the appointment that you ever get together. But I'm making appointment with strangers. I'm making appointment with people that I barely know to study the Bible with them. If strangers and acquaintances would be so important to me that I would clear my schedule to guard time so that I could spend with them, how much more important are my children and my wife? I've got a schedule, time to spend with my family. So what I've done most recently is this. I have cleared Friday night and saved it for my family. I am not going to schedule meetings. I am not going to schedule Bible studies or events or activities that will take place on Friday night because I have an appointment with my family on Friday nights. Friday night is family night. Now, we'll do some fun things on Friday night. We'll play games. We'll watch a movie. Maybe we'll go out of the house and go somewhere and do something on a Friday night. But one thing Friday night always involves is a Bible study. We will always study the Bible on Friday night. So don't call me and ask me to come help you on Friday night. I'll come Saturday morning. But Friday night is, I have an appointment with my family on Friday night. Now, please don't take this as me bragging. I hope this is coming across as a man who has been convicted of his failures and who is trying to make some changes in his life in order to save my children's souls. And maybe some of those ideas might be appealing to you as well. Maybe they might be helpful for you as well. But if we don't take the time to invest in our children, then we will raise up a generation of people who do not know the Lord. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Starting in verse 7. Judges chapter 2, verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Then Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. Verse 10. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. There arose a generation that did not know the Lord. Why did these people not know the Lord? They did not know the Lord because their parents did not teach the Word of God to them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God says, "Let them hear my words that they may learn to fear me." Because it is not an idle word, it is your life. The question I ask us this morning is, are we raising a generation that does not know the Lord? My cousin was a teacher's aide in her daughter's first grade class. She was there helping the students learn spelling words. One of their spelling words was the word church. And there was a boy in that class who had never heard the word church before in his life. And he asked, "What is church?" And she explained to him what the church is. But he couldn't even understand the concept of a church. It made no sense to him at all whatsoever, because his parents had neglected the Bible to such an extent that this poor boy didn't even have the mental capacity to understand the concept of church. And unfortunately, this is more of the norm than it is the exception in our society. And what happens to a generation that grows up not knowing the Lord? Notice what verse 11 says. Judges chapter 2, verse 11. "Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them, and bowed themselves down to them. Thus they provoked the Lord to anger." Verse 13. "So they forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. And he gave them into the hands of plunderers who plundered them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies around them, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had spoken and as the Lord had sworn to them, so that they were severely distressed." I don't want my children to do evil in the sight of the Lord. I don't want my children to forsake the Lord. I don't want the anger of the Lord to be kindled against my children. And neither do you. Therefore, we must be proactive and make intentional plans in order to saturate our lives with the Word of God, so that our children will grow up having faith in the Lord, knowing that God is a great God, the creator of heaven and earth, and the judge of all mankind, that they might fear the Lord and be faithful to Him all the days of their lives. If we as parents would be willing to sacrifice everything we have to rescue our children from the hands of a predator who would want to harm them physically, then how much more should we be committed to rescuing our children from the hands of Satan, who wants their souls for eternity? Let us rise up and let us raise up a generation that loves the Lord with all their heart and commits their lives to God for as long as they live. May God bless the message this morning. We offer an invitation now. Let us be standing. We're going to sing the invitation song. And if there is anyone here this morning who has been convicted by this message, who needs to repent of negligence in teaching your children the Word of God, if there is someone here this morning who needs the prayers of the congregation or encouragement and help in accomplishing this task, we're a family. We're here to help because we love you and we want your children to be saved as well. And if you would like to respond to this message, please come forward at this time while we sing the invitation song.